This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. The Thamantun residents' battle to protect Taman Rimba Kiara from development is not over yet, even with a new government in place. I catch up now with Leon Kui, the committee coordinator for the Save Taman Rimba Kiara Working Group, and Khairuddin Rahim, a spokesperson for the TTDI Residents Association, and find out how they've been working to find workable solutions for all the stakeholders involved in this saga, including the Bukit Kiara Longhouse residents who were promised new apartments as part of this big proposed project. Welcome, gentlemen. How are you today?
Very well, thank you. Very well, thank Thanks you. For having us.
So it's been a year, Leon, since we had you on the show. So much has happened since, but maybe for those not familiar, let's recap actually, you know, what's been happening. So I think it was June 2016 that the DBKL issued its notice of this proposed development, capital P, capital D. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, thank you, Juliet. So just a quick recap. Taman Rimba Kiara sits on a 25-acre plot of land known as Lot 55118, which also includes a existing longhouse area of 4.4 acres and a Hindu temple. This longhouse area is inhabited by 100 families from what used to be Bukit Kiara Estate. They were relocated to this longhouse area 36 years ago when Bukit Kiara Estate was closed down and acquired by the government. It transpired in 2014 that Yayasan Wila Persekutuan had somehow procured the issuance of a title to itself, known as PT9244, for 12 acres out of the 25 acres. This was a purported transfer of state land to Yayasan Wila Persekutuan, which is a private entity. Yayasan Wila Persekutuan then proceeded to enter into a joint venture with Mepang Perkasa, which is a subsidiary of the Malton Group, to build a mega project on PT9244. Yeah. As you've mentioned, Juliet, in June 2016, DBKL issued a notice about the mega project, which proposes one block of 350 units of affordable housing for the Bukit Kiara Longhouse community, mm-hmm. eight blocks of 42 to 54-story high-end condominiums amounting to 1,800 units, and an increase in population density from 74 persons per acre to 979 persons per acre. Yeah. Yeah. The expected total gross development value was at least 3 billion ringgit. Now, the implications of this proposed development is that it would add 2,000 units of housing, 8,000 to 10,000 new residents, and up to 4,000 additional vehicles into the Thamantun Dr. Ismail Township and ecosystem.
Which, by the way, is already bursting at its seams.
Yep, yep. As we all know, I think even just going to the market is a bit of a trial over there, isn't it, in this area?
Yes, indeed.
And, okay, so I think one of the things that DBKL kept highlighting back then was that, you know, this was intended to help the longhouse resident folks, right? This the cost of the luxury condominiums would offset the cost of free housing for them. I think this is something that kept being kept being told. And what was your response to that?
Well, the TTDI community has demonstrated that this is a fallacy. You do not need a 3 billion ringgit project to build 100 housing units for 100 families. We have run a alternative design project for the longhouse community, and we engaged with them in that process to understand what they wanted. We came up with a townhouse design with the help of volunteer residents, volunteer architects, engineers, town planners. This alternative design delivers 100 units and potentially up to 200 units if necessary, mm-hmm. for the longhouse community and for a raw construction cost of 15 million ringgit. Okay, I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that you don't need a 3 billion ringgit project to come up with 15 billion ringgit to build permanent housing, mm-hmm. yeah, mm-hmm. permanent affordable housing. Interesting nugget of information is that DBKL and the FT ministry in previous times, so under the previous administration, kept on claiming that there was not enough money or there were no funds to build this kind of housing and they needed this project to subsidize it. They needed this high-end condo project to subsidize it. But against a raw construction cost of 15 million ringgit, you also find that in the few months leading up to the last general election, GE14, Tengku Adnan approved construction of a highway around the Samantan Bangsa area, mm-hmm. Damansara Heights, mm-hmm. costing 200 million ringgit. And the cost of that construction was going to be borne by DBKL.
Right.
So if you can come up with 200 million ringgit to build a flyover, a complicated flyover around the Damansara Heights area, why can't you come up with 15 million ringgit for housing for the Longhouse residents who have waited 36 years for their housing? And interestingly, guess who's the beneficiary of that flyover in the Damansara Heights area? Malton Group.
Oh, there you go. I mean, you've stated before that there was a clear conflict of interest and also potentially abuse of power, as the former FT minister himself, Dato' Sri Tengku Adnan, was also the chairman of Yayasan Wilayah Persekutuan back then. Am I correct?
That's correct. And also the mayor and the deputy FT minister then were on the board of trustees of Yayasan Wilayah Persekutuan. Mm-hmm. So one side was talking to each other, or basically talking to themselves and approving the project.
All right. So that's kind of when you guys got together, the Tamantun residents, and, you know, everyone banded together. And, you know, you formed the Save Taman Rimba Kiara Working Group, you know, the TTDI Residents Association got together. But despite everything and despite your protests, DBKL still issued a development order on the 13th of July. And how did you actually learn about that? This was last year, right? This is what happened last year.
That was last year, yeah. Through a parliamentary reply that was given to the then Segambut Member of Parliament, mm-hmm. who had asked what's been happening. And it's only through that reply that we found out. Because prior to that, DBKL was remaining silent, mm-hmm. despite our many inquiries.
Right. And you had tried to, and I want to reiterate that you did try to engage with them, you did try to get a response, and nothing came about.
Nothing came about, yes.
Until that happened. Okay, so it was then that the TTDI, the Residents Association, you and together with the management bodies of, I think, 5 condos and
That's
some
right.
other residents.
Surrounding the park.
Right, and this was when you filed an application for a judicial review. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
First of all, I think it's important to explain what exactly is a judicial review. Mm-hmm. I think to many, I mean, this is quite strange language, but this is a type of court application where citizens who are aggrieved by the decision of a public authority request a court judge to conduct a review of that public authority's decision. So hence, that's why it's called a judicial review.
Sure.
If the judge finds that the public authority made a bad decision, example, the public authority acted illegally or did not follow proper procedure, then the judge can order that the public authority's decision be quashed, reversed, or cancelled. So in our case, in the Taman Rimba Kiara situation, the Tamantun community filed a judicial review application with the Kuala Lumpur High Court because we were aggrieved by DBKL's decision to issue a development order to the developer, Memang Perkasa, of which 51% of it is owned by Malton. The judicial review application seeks a ruling by the KL High Court that DBKL's decision to issue the development order is wrong.
Okay.
And did not follow procedures and should be quashed.
Okay, so what are some of the major issues within that judicial review?
Well, it comes back to the fact that the land itself was always a public open space.
Sure.
So it's just unheard of. You don't take over a public open space and turn it into commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the blue, I mean, you have suddenly a land title created for 12 out of the 25 acres. For the purpose of commercial development. So that was done, I would use the word, covertly. There was no public discussion, no public announcement. And lo and behold, suddenly there's a land title created, mm-hmm. and awarded to Yayasan Wilayah Persekutuan.
Now, part of the debate that has been ongoing is that you have the developer and Yayasan claiming that we are the owners of the land.
Right.
We are the owners of this title, PT9244, which has already been issued to Yayasan. Therefore, we have every right to develop on it, full stop. You have no reason to question us. Yeah, and that they claim indefeasibility of title, basically. But that is a misnomer. The reality is that just because you hold a title does not mean that you can do willy-nilly with that title. Yeah, if you live in a, say, double-story bungalow in Tamantun, in TTDI, you can't just wake up tomorrow and decide, I'm going to build a 40-story building on my double-story bungalow lot. It doesn't happen because DBKL has planning and development control rules which stop you from building that 40-story building.
Precisely.
Now, the same principle applies here. DBKL, as the Planning and Development Control Authority, has every right to say, no, this area is designated as a park. It has always been used as a park, so we will not allow it to be built on. It's almost as simple as that. And DBKL is the designated custodian of the interests of all residents of KL. They have failed in their duty. They have failed to be custodians of public park. This is a national treasure. It's a public asset. And they have failed to be good custodians of it. And they continue to prosecute a destruction, an encroachment of a very limited green space.
Okay, and so I want to talk a little bit about the court case, but we'll do that after this quick break. I'm speaking to Leon Kwe. He is the committee coordinator for the Safe Taman Rimba Kiara Working Group, and Khairuddin Rahim. He's the spokesperson for the TTDI Residents Association. And we're talking about Taman Rimba Kiara, which was marked for development, and there's a lot of issues surrounding that. And we'll find out more after this quick break. You are listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. In the studio with me today are Leon Kwe and Khairuddin Rahim. Leon is the Safe Taman Rimba Kiara Working Group Committee Coordinator, and Khairuddin is the spokesperson for the TTDI Residents Association. And we're talking about the TTDI Residents battle against DBKL, if we can call it that, to protect Taman Rimba Kiara from development. So as we mentioned before the break, you guys filed a judicial review. I mean, walk me through what happened after that. You know, what was the court cases like? You know, how did it all play out?
Okay, so what happened was we had been trying to find out information about whether the DO had been issued. We found out on the 10th of August via a parliamentary reply. And immediately the next day, we filed an application in High Court for the judicial review on Friday, the 11th of August. Beyond that, the High Court gave us leave to proceed with the application. Very quickly, Yayasan Wilayah Persekutuan, Memang Perkasa, i.e. the developer, which is a subsidiary of Malton Group, and one of the Longhouse RAs, resident associations, there are two resident associations in the Longhouses, one of them intervened in the case. They applied to join the case as respondents on the basis that they were parties with an interest in the outcome of the judicial review. What happened then was the case itself would take some time to hear the substantive issues. Yeah, so in the meantime, pending hearing of the full matter, the applicants, i.e. the community, requested an interim freeze on all work in relation to the proposed development.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, the reason for the interim freeze was to try and preserve the status quo or preserve the condition of Taman Rimba Kiara pending full hearing of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, this interim freeze was argued in court in December, and there were extensive arguments and submissions by counsel. After hearing the parties, the judge, Dato' Wira Kamaluddin, decided to deny the interim freeze request. And in denying the interim freeze request, he also ordered the applicants to bear the respondents' costs for arguing the interim freeze matter. And he assessed costs at 10,000 per respondent, therefore adding up to 40,000 to be paid by the applicants. Now, many senior lawyers have observed that this is unusual for such high costs to be assessed in a public interest litigation such as this. Indeed, the level of costs assessed against the applicants give rise to much unhappiness and public anger about the chilling effect of judicial orders like this on public interest litigation.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, public interest litigation is different from civil litigation, i.e., you know, where you have a civil matter, companies fight each other,
sure.
You know, they sue each other for contractual breach, they take out injunctions against each other. Those involve payment of damages, etc.
Sure.
Yeah, economic interests. Here, this set of litigation is different. Yeah, there's a different school of law in relation to public interest, i.e., citizens are entitled to take out judicial proceedings to question decisions made by public authorities.
Mm-hmm.
And the remedy that is given by this public interest litigation is not damages or monetary compensation. It is typically the quashing of the decision or some kind of declaration which says, okay, this public officer made a wrong decision, therefore it's reversed. Yeah,
sure.
And that is the remedy for a public interest litigation. Now, in public interest litigation space, costs typically are kept low or none at all, because the intention is to encourage public interest litigation. In fact, you can see that the new Attorney General, Tommy Thomas, issued a statement recently, mm-hmm. after taking office, that going forward, the government or the Aegis Chambers would no longer insist on costs being paid to the Attorney General's Chambers for participating in public interest litigation. Now, that's a very good step on his part to encourage public interest litigation. Mm-hmm. And that is kind of the, you know, general direction that public interest litigation should take. Unfortunately, that was not the case in our interim freeze proceeding.
Right.
We got hit with 40,000 ringgit. The anger was palpable among the public and among residents. People responded very well with contributions,
mm-hmm.
Which allowed us to, you know, put up a buffer to handle these kinds of issues. So we have been fortunate that this issue has resonated strongly with the public, who have been very supportive.
Okay, all right. So, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is something that I wanted to talk to you guys about. The then FD minister actually attended a town hall with the residents.
Yes.
This was before the decision was
November 3rd last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He did. And he promised to keep meeting up with you, but that never happened?
No, it never happened, despite our follow-up the very next day and repeated inquiries about him keeping his promise.
Mm-hmm.
To look into more detail about our proposal,
sure.
Which at that time we had raised, the alternative permanent housing for the longhouses.
Yep.
We had architects' drawings and we had preliminary costings ready. And basically, we were deceived.
Okay.
We didn't get a chance to meet him.
Mm-hmm. And correct me if I'm wrong, this was used as the town hall that he did attend was sort of used as a way for development to continue, because it's sort of like almost a tick of a box.
Very good remark you're making. Yes, one of the conditions issued for the development order by DBKL,
mm-hmm.
is for the developer to have what is called a strategic public engagement, or mm-hmm. words to those effect. In other words, you need a communication strategy.
Yeah.
In other words, the developer needs to have a direct interaction with the community that will be affected the most.
Sure.
Which is all the people surrounding the park. So that's a condition. And what we found out later was the town hall meeting, which was actually, for all intents and purposes, an FT minister's gathering and meeting of the rakyat,
mm-hmm.
Was used as that particular condition has been fulfilled. Whereas the fact is, no developer was present or presented during that November 3rd meeting with the FT minister. So they had used something that was an entirely different platform and said the boxes have been ticked for this one.
They were compliant.
And what surprised us was that DPKL accepted this as compliance, mm-hmm. when we all know that that really never happened.
So this is the issue. It appears from DBKL's pattern of conduct that they don't have their head right in relation to this particular project. Maybe a lot of other projects, but let's just talk about this one,
sure.
for now. The pattern of conduct shows decision-making which is skewed, which is non-objective, which does not appear to take all relevant considerations into account. We have showed that there's serious traffic issues. Mm-hmm. We have showed, you know, that you don't need a 3 billion ringgit project. And in this particular instance, DBKL's conduct in relation to that communication strategy condition in the development order clearly shows that they just don't know how to make the right decisions. You impose a condition on the developer that they have to conduct a communication strategy mm-hmm. with the residents. And this is a condition that you have to fulfill before you begin building. But Malton has already started site clearing, or they started site clearing, and they have never conducted any kind of communication strategy with the TTDI community. Right. Instead, as Khairuddin said, Malton applied to DBKL and asked, hey, that Tengku Anan Town Hall, can we use that as fulfillment of our communication strategy, the developer? And DBKL says, oh yeah, it's okay. Yeah, you can. But how can that be when Malton was never present, as Khairuddin said, mm-hmm. at the town hall? They never participated. Nobody ever saw them there. And DBKL says, yeah, this is fine. You've fulfilled your condition. What kind of decision-making is that?
Okay, but now we've got a new government in place. The Pakatan Harapan government has taken office. And I mean, are we seeing some progress then, you know, in terms of, I guess, negotiation or discussions? I know that you've met with the new FT minister, YB Khalid Samad, for example. So, I mean, tell me about what's been happening there.
So, our new MP has been very proactive and very diligent at trying to push this issue and get to a resolution mm-hmm. of the issue. She has lodged an MSCC report as well in relation to the original transfer of the land. And she has been pressuring the MSCC to provide updates. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, there are 3 MSCC reports now pending in relation to Taman Rimba Kiara.
Okay.
Now, YB Hanna also arranged for that meeting with the FT minister, where we had the opportunity to brief the FT minister on the development itself and the alternative housing project. Or the alternative housing plan for the Longhouse residents. The minister definitely demonstrated quite a different approach and attitude compared to the previous FT minister. So YB Khalid Samad was very patient and open to listen to the material that we put in front of him. Mm-hmm. And he said that he would look at it carefully and convene further meetings with stakeholders at a later point in time. So we are currently awaiting the opportunity to engage in a further process in relation to solving this issue.
Okay. And I was reading The Star, and they reported that the developers are willing to give up the project if they are paid 110 million as compensation, which is sort of the estimate of how much they've spent on the development so far. That's correct, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. And YB Khalid has also assured stakeholders that the development would not be allowed to take place within the park area.
Yeah. The question is which part of the park? Because as you we earlier mentioned, right, the park is about 25 acres.
Yeah.
But there was a carve out of approximately 12 acres mm-hmm. towards Yayasan Wilayah Persekutuan. So from a technical legal standpoint, that is according to the grant, not the park anymore.
Okay.
So if, like the previous FT minister, we are talking about the remaining area not being touched, That's I would call it not solving the problem, you know, because the park is still 25 acres as far as we're concerned. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so hopefully the authorities can see through this confusion, as the reporters called it, as to where exactly is the park and where is not. Mm-hmm. As far as we're concerned, it is the whole 25 acres.
Sure.
Yeah. So I think what Khairuddin is saying very gently also is that. Because the new FT minister is demonstrating his willingness and intention to get to the bottom of this issue, we have tried to offer kid gloves with him
sure.
and to offer him the space and ability to, you know, understand the issues, look at what the history is like, and get to grips, not just with the issues, with the situation on the ground, but also with all the actors in this scenario, including many who were involved in this project in Yayasan Wilapas Kutuan and DBKL, and on the developer side, who are still involved in this whole matrix, shall we say, at this point in time. We believe that he's having to grapple and deal with many actors who remain from the previous scenario and the previous administration. And we support, or we would encourage, you know, the time spent and the attention on his part to work this through to a good resolution.
Okay. And I think one of the things that he mentioned also in that Star article was that, you know, the heart of this is the Longhouse residents. You know, he's very worried about their, you know, their 36-year-long wait.
Of waiting, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and he wants to take them, you know, what they need into consideration. And I think this is something that you all have also been very, very vocal about, you know, your support of their...
We've always been consistent on that from day one.
Mm-hmm.
Not only just... supporting them, as we previously mentioned, we went to the extent of getting volunteer architects to design a suitable permanent solution to it. And it's feasible, entirely feasible, on the current 4.4 acre that they occupy, which is, by the way, is at the border of the park.
Sure.
Yeah, it's not on the park, it's at the border of the park.
Yeah.
And we had an engagement session with the Longhouse residents, and we presented to them, says, ladies and gentlemen, this is what the Tamantun folks have prepared for you. What do you think about it? And I think unanimous thumbs up.
Okay.
As compared to a 29-story low-cost housing flat.
Sure.
So that's one part of the equation, and we remain steadfast in wanting to offer that as a solution, because unlike others who keep on making noise, we went further by saying, here is a solution, here is an answer, and it costs $15 million to produce, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps, Leon, can you clarify for listeners this topic about compensation? Whereas, in fact, we don't think it's called a compensation. It shouldn't be called a compensation.
Yeah, you're right, Karudin. So the term compensation has probably been used a little loosely in the media, for example. The reality, well, in court filings by Moulton, dating back to November 2017, they filed a summary of payments made, which listed payments amounting to $115 million. So $115 million had been paid out in relation to the project. We have summarized or kind of looked at the payments, and interesting information is that 95% of those payments, 95% out of the $115 million was paid either to Yayasan Villa Persekutuan, Pejabat Tanah Wilayah Persekutuan, or DBKL. For example, 60 million ringgit was paid to Pejabat Tanah Wilayah Persekutuan as land premium for PT9244 for the 12 acres.
Sure.
So this is payment to the government. 23 million was paid to DBKL for development charges. Okay. Another 20 million was paid to Yayasan Wilayah Persekutuan. So these are all government entities or government-related entities in the case of Yayasan Wilayah Persekutuan. 95% of that went to the government, effectively. Now, if this were to be reversed, then I think from a Moulton point of view, they would be viewing this as refunds of payments made.
Sure.
So... in reality, a lot of the payments would be considered refunds and not compensation.
This is something that needs to be argued out in court, I suppose?
No, that's not a court.
No, I mean...
The court debate is essentially on the decision taken by DBKL on awarding them the development order.
Yeah.
Okay.
But this issue of compensation came up in the context of potentially the FT Ministry or Yayasan themselves deciding not to proceed with the project or to cancel it in toto. And if that were to happen, then of course, you know, if I'm a contracting party, I've entered a contract with you, I've made payments. If we decide to cancel the contract, then just pay me back whatever I've paid.
Mm-hmm.
So that typically would not be compensation for lost profit, mm-hmm. for example.
Sure.
Really, it would be refunds of monies that have been paid.
Okay, right. All right. But they've already started doing some work, right? The sales gallery?
They haven't built the sales gallery, but what they started doing was clearing up.
Clearing up. So land has been cleared.
Some of the land in March this year, mm-hmm. in preparation of the sales gallery.
Okay.
Which, by the way, was approved by DBKL. The building of the sales gallery was approved by DBKL exactly 3 days after the then FT minister's town hall meeting on November 3rd,
right.
where he had said, "I will not touch your park."
Okay, so here we are now. You are making some progress, I hope. But I mean, maybe you'd like to just reiterate what it is that you hope for, you know, as Taman Tun residents, you know, as the Save Taman Rimba Kiara Working Group. What is it that you'd like, and what is it that you hope will be the outcome of all of this? And I think it's safe to call it a saga.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So our position has been consistent. The project should never have been approved in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, DBKL has failed in its responsibility to protect a public asset. Number three, the project should be cancelled. Four, there should be no development whatsoever on Taman Rimba Kiara and the park should be gazetted. Five, the Longhouse community should be given permanent housing on the existing 4.4-acre Longhouse footprint that they currently inhabit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that those 4.4 acres should be used to build permanent housing for these folks. They deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
They've had to put up with this for 36 years. Number six, the TTDI community has demonstrated that sustainable, affordable, low-density permanent housing for the Longhouse residents can be delivered for as low as 15 million ringgit raw construction cost. Okay. And finally, we, the TTDI community, stand ready to work with all stakeholders to achieve all of the above. Now, we have heard rumors in the market about possible permutations or combinations in relation to the proposed development. There has been talk potentially about a reduction in the size of the project. So instead of building 8 blocks of high-end condos, potentially they built 4 blocks of high-end condos on a smaller plot of land. Or perhaps since we say you should build permanent housing for the Longhouse residents on their 4.4 acres, you might find proposals to cram 4 high-end condos plus flats for the Longhouse residents into those 4.4 acres. Okay. Now, the issue here is that high-end condos in an area such as Bukit Kiara, a green lung, are a cancer. Okay? It's pure and simple. It doesn't matter if you try to inject a 8-block condo project or a 4-block condo project.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cancer. So you either inject a big cancer or a slightly smaller cancer. Both of these are going to irreversibly destroy that green lung. Okay, the permanent housing for the Longhouse residents is low density and can be done without major permanent damage to that existing ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And we should focus on that.
Okay. All right. So you've come this far. I mean, so much you've guys, all of you have put in. And I mean, what if things don't go your way? You know, I mean, what is your plan moving forward?
So the Taman Rimba Kiara issue clearly resonates, not just in TTDI, it resonates with the greater KL populace. That is very clear.
Yep.
The issue of livability in KL in the face of overdevelopment, rampant overdevelopment propagated by the previous administration,
mm-hmm.
has been a really serious issue. And I think the electorate demonstrated their unhappiness too.
Yep.
Over the last 2 years, the Taman Rimba Kiara issue has been covered in almost 200 media articles, videos, and reports. There have been 8 resident protest events.
Well done.
So,
well done, you guys.
So we've
developed a core competence for that.
Yeah. And we've acquired considerable muscle memory, I suppose. So we brought it this far, and the court case too. It hasn't been easy, but we are resolved and committed to bring this to a good resolution, especially for the Longhouse residents. They deserve permanent housing within those 4.4 acres, yeah, if we can manage it. We have resolved and committed that we will continue this fight to bring it to a good resolution. Mm-hmm. And if necessary, if we have to exercise our muscle memory again to come up with to become noisy and protest in a park again, well, you know, that's the way it is.
That's democracy.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
What is fantastic about this is, you know, I've lived in Tamantun for 32 years. I've gotten to meet like-minded, wonderful people. I mean, I never knew Leon until this happened 2 years ago, for example.
Bringing people together.
And serendipity.
Really, it has brought a lot of like-minded people together. And it's amazing, you know, mm-hmm. such a diverse group of people with so much different talents, mm-hmm. but all very resolute about, you know, wanting to protect the park. Because it's all about doing what is right. There's no other reason apart from the fact that we are enraged yeah. that something as beautiful as a public park like that could ever be contemplated as a condominium project. Mm-hmm. So that's like never been done. It shouldn't be done.
And it's happening a lot around KL, yeah. as you mentioned. And I think, you know, other residents' associations are, I think, are quite spurred on by, you know, the Tamantun
group. I don't know whether we're a good example, but I think certainly they are watching all, everyone's watching us very closely mm-hmm. To see how this concludes. But it just shows that unity with a purpose, you can get results. Yeah, so we're keeping our fingers crossed for the judicial review that will be on September 25th and 26th.
Okay.
And we'll take it from there. And in between that, in parallel, is the good work of both the FT Minister, the present FT Minister, and Hana Yeo in trying to also find a resolution to this. So we're very grateful that they're behind us on this one.
Yeah, and of course, if the FT Minister exercises his powers, which are quite wide-reaching, in reality, this matter can be resolved without having to continue the conflict in court.
Okay. All right. And for anyone listening, you know, if they'd like to get in touch or if they'd like to, you know, lend some support in any way, how best to do that?
Yes. In order to get additional information, they can always visit www.tamanrimakiara.net. Mm-hmm. It's a GoDaddy domain because, you know, under the previous administration, you didn't want to get shut down.
So much has changed now, though.
Yes, indeed, indeed. They can also follow Selamatkan Taman Rimba Kiara Facebook. You know, there are regular posts there.
Okay.
And besides that, of course, there are contact details there.
On the website.
Yeah, on the website.
Okay, all right. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining me today. I've been speaking to Leon Kue. He's the committee coordinator for the Save Taman Rimba Kiara Working Group. And Khairuddin Rahim, he's a spokesperson for the TTDI Residents Association. And we were talking about the very, very concerted effort to save Taman Rimba Kiara from development. If you missed any part of this interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcasts on our BFM app, available on Google Play and the App Store. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.